Well, hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Friends, what's on your mind today? Got a Bible question or something you'd like to talk about? Let's hear about it at 844-322-2742. That's the number in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you because it's Basic Gospel. And guys, I hope you, Bob Christopher, and you, Richard Piper, and your families had a wonderful Memorial Day weekend.
I sure did.
Yes, and, absolutely.
It was a nice time. I think this is a wonderful kind of break in the schedule to really commemorate our freedom, to think about those who sacrificed their lives. I know most Christians really, and this is just me speaking. This is, you know, when we come to these holidays like Memorial Day, like the 4th of July, I can't help but think about Jesus and the freedom that we have in him and what he accomplished for us. Yes, you know, our military and, you know, our leaders throughout, you know, our history as the great United States of America have done some incredible things to bring about the way of life, the American way of life that we experience here and now, a life that is free, where we have certain privileges and freedoms that lots of other people in this world do not have.
Right.
But all of that still pales in comparison to the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. So it was a good time for me just to rethink all the freedoms that we have in Christ. And we're going to talk about one today that's the result of Christ's finished work on the cross. When he said, "It is finished," he did something for us to ensure our freedom eternally. And we see it right here in Romans 8:1. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." So it is the work of Jesus Christ that brings us to that point, to that reality, that because of Christ, there's no condemnation for you and me who believe in Christ, who are in Christ Jesus. And he gives the reason. It's not just a statement. It's not just a maxim we go by. He gives a reason. Something actually happened. "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." So we came into this world under judgment, under condemnation. Now, we as Gentiles were not under the Mosaic covenant. That was a covenant between God and Israel alone. But we were under the universal law of sin and death. God said it at the very beginning. The wages of sin is death. That's what he said to Adam and Eve. "You eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die." Well, that's a truth for all of us, and we come into this world under that law of sin and death. Now, what's the solution? Well, the solution is life in Christ Jesus. So when we come to Christ by faith, we're made alive together with Christ. The law of the Spirit of life sets us free from the law of sin and death. So now we're under the law of life. It's a higher law. And in this law, there is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. It is all the result of the finished work of Christ. And it is just really a privilege to live in that freedom and to be able to share that truth with those who still feel condemned by God. And the Holy Spirit will take this truth and will do some convincing in the hearts and minds of people. And that's what this whole chapter is all about, because when you come to the end of chapter 8, you see Paul saying, "I am convinced." Well, where did it start? It started with the cross, what Jesus did 2,000 years ago in finishing his work, and the law of the Spirit of life setting us free from the law of sin and death, and therefore no condemnation. And as that truth really sinks in and deepens within our hearts and souls, then we become convinced that absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God. And folks, that is ultimate freedom. That is eternal freedom. And because of the work of Jesus, no one, no power on earth, no power in heaven can rob you of that freedom. This is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus.
Do you mean it's finished?
I mean, it is finished,
it
folks.
Is done.
We need to rest. We need to rejoice. Yeah, we need to let every day be a celebration of this wonderful truth.
You are absolutely right. It is great news. It's fantastic news. It's the best news we will ever hear, friends. And it's the news you hear each day here at Basic Gospel. Richard, we've noted next month we'll reach the end of our fiscal year, and mm-hmm. I want to just kind of pick on you a little bit to tell us why it's important for Basic Gospel as we conclude this month and look forward to the end of the fiscal year next month.
Just what Bob was talking about. We don't teach that there is now not quite as much condemnation as there used to be.
That's right.
There is no condemnation.
None.
Because of Jesus. And if you want that message to go out to your friends and family, your neighborhood, then we need to finish this fiscal year strong. It's been a great year. We've been able to get on new radio stations.
Right.
We've been able to meet our budget thus far. We rejoice over that. But we want to finish strong so that we are absolutely certain of finishing everything that we have signed up for this year. Mm-hmm. And be in a position to start the next fiscal year on this same message, this same hope, spreading it even farther. And you folks are really doing this with us.
Yes.
It's just as much your ministry as it is ours. We just happen to be the voices on the radio. But there are thousands of people out there who need to hear this, and this is our chance to help them do so.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Richard, for that. And friends, just click donate at basicgospel.net, or you can call 844-322-2742. And if you do so before midnight on this Thursday, we'll send you our 2-CD set, It Is Finished. That's exactly what we've been talking about all month long here at Basic Gospel. But this offer, as I said, ends Thursday at midnight, so don't miss this offer. Share It Is Finished with your family and friends. Make your gift, as I said, at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Well, it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. I'm glad that you're with us. My name is Bob Davis, and we had an email that really gets into a very, very important issue. This is from Tammy, and she says, my mother asked how she is supposed to forgive a man that raped my little sister when she was in high school. My mother says she can never forgive him, and that if he becomes saved and goes to heaven, she would not be okay with that. I pointed out that he could be saved and definitely go to heaven. Saul, who became Paul, killed several people. He was saved, and I'm sure he is in heaven. I said she needed to ask God to help her forgive him, to be raw and honest with God. She wants to forgive, but can't do it in her own strength. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the daughter has it right. We cannot forgive in our own strength. And certainly this situation, this is a horrific situation. It's going to take a supernatural work of God in this mom's heart to bring her to that point of saying, hey, I want to forgive this person. But I tell you, it's a positive thing for her to do, to let go of that bitterness, that anger, that rage, and to be able to put that into the hands of the Lord. And we can only do so as we allow the Spirit of God to teach us the real depth of the forgiveness that we have in Christ and the real depth of what he's accomplished for all of mankind through his shed blood. And so we have to think in this world there are horrific things that take place. And we've read stories about, you know, people losing loved ones through horrific acts of violence and them being able to go into a jail cell and say, sir, I forgive you for what you did. And that's nothing short of a supernatural miracle.
Absolutely.
That is not a humanly thing that we can muster up with our own strength. We have to rely on the Spirit of God, the truth of God, to bring us to that point. And if the mom is in a position of saying, I want to forgive, then she's in a position of saying, Lord, move me in that direction. One of the great verses, I think, in the New Testament that's a big help in this particular area is that is Philippians chapter 2, verses, I think, 12 and 13. And it says that we're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God who is at work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we're going to have to trust the Lord to work that forgiveness inside of us, and then have the courage to work it out in real life. And I guarantee you, that moment that you take a step in that direction toward that person and say, I forgive you, that's going to be one of the most difficult steps you will ever take. But once you take it, there, you're going to sense a burden lifted from your shoulders.
Yes, indeed.
And it doesn't change things. It doesn't change the hurt that you've experienced and will continue experiencing, thinking about the loss of that child or what happened to that daughter of yours. Yeah. But it will release this burden from you and release you from that bitterness that can creep in and really mess up your life. So this is a positive thing. How the person receives it, that's between he and God. But the fact that you extend it, that's going to be of benefit to you and possibly to him. So allow God to work in your heart. Work this truth about what Jesus accomplished for you and your own sinfulness. I mean, we have to realize that, you know, maybe we haven't committed such acts of atrocity. But there's this capacity of that in all of us. And we have to realize that Jesus Christ took all of that to a cross. He nailed it to the cross. He bled and died for each and every one of us. And based on that, we can extend forgiveness to others. But allow Christ to do his work in you. There's not a time limit on it. But as he does, and you see this willingness inside of you, then take that step of faith and extend that forgiveness. It's going to be fearful. It's going to be scary. You're going to question, should I be doing this or not? But remember, there's the love of God that's at play here. And it's the love of God that's going to move you in that direction. And that love, as you let it drench over you, will trump any other feeling or thing that you have, and it will be the very force that compels you forward.
Yeah. Tammy, hope you're listening, and hope that's a help to you and your mom as you walk through this particular issue. You know, guys, for a lot of seniors across the country, becoming the parent, so to speak, of their grandchildren has become a reality. Let's listen to a call about that right now.
Hi, Bob. My name is Peggy. I'm calling on behalf of my granddaughter. We've had my granddaughter almost since she's been born, and we now have full custody of her. She doesn't know us as her grandparents. She knows us as mom and dad. She doesn't know her mom and dad because they've been in and out of trouble, on and off drugs, in and out of jail, prisons, whatever. And, you know, I never hear from them or anything. I have a hard time, you know. I don't hate neither one of them, you know, and I pray for them all the time. And I do love them. But the thing is that, you know, sometimes I think about things and, you know, and I get defensive because when it comes to that little girl, I'm very defensive. Am I wrong to have defensive actions, and, you know, and I just don't know what to do. Can you kind of give me some advice? Thank you.
Well, excellent question by Peggy. And Bob, I think as you set this up, you're absolutely right that in this world today, more and more grandparents are taking on and having to take on the role of parent to grandchildren. And it's a wonderful thing that grandparents are available to do that and can do that and are willing to do that, as in the case for Peggy. But I think a lot of defensiveness that Peggy, you might be feeling, might be experiencing, comes from future thinking. You know, what's going to happen to my relationship to these grandchildren in the future if X, Y, and Z occurs. Mm-hmm. And we don't know those things. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. And so we have to recognize that's future thinking. And I'm going to leave that in God's hands. And the reason that we can leave it in God's hands is because God loves those grandchildren more than anyone else. And so we can trust him to work all things together for these kids' benefit, for their good. So I would step back and say, wait a minute, that's future thinking. I have an opportunity today to influence these kids, to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and I'm going to do that today, and I'm going to leave the future in God's hands. Richard, do you have any thoughts on that?
I just piggyback on it that you have full custody. Be their parents. You know, don't say, well, I'm a grandmother or a grandfather, and I'm just substituting. No, you're not substituting. You are, for all the reasons you mentioned, you are the parent. Be the parent. Love them as your own. Raise them and to change their dependence from you to Jesus and leave the future in his hands. But go ahead and be the parent. Don't apologize for it. Don't feel guilty for it. Just be the parent.
Absolutely. Well, we love hearing from our listeners, and we love even more being able to proclaim truth. And Peggy, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Friends, want to remind you to check out the information on our May, June 2019 visit to Israel and Jordan. Click the banner at the top of the homepage at basicgospel.net to get all the information, and we hope to see you on that excellent, excellent trip coming up. Another issue that in premarital situations, this is a call that came in over the weekend. Let's listen now.
Hi, my question is, it's personal and it's most definitely widespread. I'm sure everyone's thinking this. I 100% love, believe, and totally spiritual, and I want to know how I can resist temptation, specifically abstinence. Now, I have a, I'm about to be engaged, not even engaged yet. And my girlfriend, I think you know where I'm going with this. What is it that can truthfully bend my mindset to stay abstinent, to be abstinent, and not have any struggle with it going down the line, not thinking about it, and believing that I can do it without any hardship? I need answers.
Greg said one on the North Pole, the other on the South Pole.
Well,
it doesn't help the thought process.
No,
though.
it doesn't. You're about to be engaged to a woman that you're physically attracted to, and so those sexual desires are going to be brewing inside of you. Now, they're not dirty. They're not nasty. I mean, God is the one that invented sex. Mm-hmm. But he invented it to be participated in within the sacred bond of marriage. He didn't say, hey, this is just a casual thing and go out and do, you know, have sex with whoever, whenever, you know, and all of those things, such as our culture currently says. And the world system has said since the beginning of time almost.
Yeah.
You have to realize that you're going to have those sexual desires as this relationship grows, as you take it to the next level and ask her to marry you. That's just part of the reality of it. But I think it's something that you two should talk about and say, we want to save this for our wedding night, to make that wedding night as special as it possibly can be, and that we can really do this the way God has designed it. So I would just go with that. One of the practical things that you can think of is a short engagement.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy in this world today to think, you know, somebody gets engaged today and the wedding may not be for a year or 2 years or something like that. And, you know, that just doesn't make sense. but I understand what you want, and I certainly, honor yes. your desire in this, and so
and your truthfulness.
That's yes. right, absolutely. So don't deny. Don't try to fight something that's there. Mm-hmm. Recognize that these desires are good and healthy. That they're from God. They're part of relationships that are going toward marriage. But step back and say, hey, I still want to love her in a way that supersedes just the sexual act. And I want to protect her emotions. I want to make her feel as safe and secure as I possibly can. So I am choosing to wait for that special moment on our wedding night for this to take place. Yeah. But I think if you start thinking more about her than just your, you know, those desires within, that's going to change things a whole bunch for you.
Yeah, one of the things that happens these days a lot, I've heard it more and more often, is that a couple, as they approach engagement or soon after engagement, they begin looking for, where are we going to live? Usually it's an apartment or a condo someplace, and they'll end up signing the lease or whatever it is before they get married. Well, it's okay if that's what you want to do, but certainly don't move in there. Don't move in together. And in fact, if you have to pay for the place and leave it empty, do so. But don't move in together, because that's just adding fuel to the fire.
Yeah.
Anything you can do that allows the two of you to be safe and confirmed in each other without putting the extra pressure on each other of, oh, no, now have we gone too far, do it. There's a lot of practical benefit to, you know, saying goodnight at 10 o'clock and leaving. It just is a practical way to avoid a lot of the problems that come up when we give in.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Well, great question.
Great question. Quick question from Sally. She says, will our loved ones who aren't saved have a chance to be saved after the rapture?
It says in Hebrews 9 that, you die once and then comes judgment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think every chance that we have to believe is right here before us.
Yes.
And we're not going to die and say, if only I'd known, if only had I had a second chance or something like that. I think that every chance we're going to get is right here before us. And when we die, we die. Now, you know, if the church is raptured out and people are still left here and that sort of thing,
they're
some
still
believe,
alive.
They're still alive. There's going to be opportunity. So it's not until somebody dies does the judgment come. So as long as somebody is alive, there's an opportunity for them to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And that's good news, and that's hope.
That is
hope. And I think that's why we need to keep proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know, keep telling the story of Jesus so that people will have the opportunity to respond to Jesus and to be a part of his eternal story.
Yes.
And that's why we ask you to come along and support what we do here at Basic Gospel so that others can hear.
Yeah. Friends, please remember Basic Gospel and your giving. As you know, we are listener-supported, and we'll be coming up on the end of our fiscal year next month, and we need your help right now, as a matter of fact, to reach new listeners who need to hear the liberating truth of the gospel just like you have. You can donate online at basicgospel.net or by calling 844-322-2742. And with your gift before midnight this Thursday, you'll receive our 2-CD series, It Is Finished, truth that we've been pounding on this entire month and certainly have done so today. So again, donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. And remember, that same number is available overnight and anytime. If you have a question or something you'd like us to discuss here at Basic Gospel, give us a call. Again, that number, 844-322-2742, available 24 hours daily. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be here again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.